here with my friend Michael Petulli. We're doing a podcast that I've forgotten the name of.
Yeah, who are you? You're a stranger. I'm not sure if I know who this guy is here.
It's been so long, but people, we're back. It's the Canadian Bowler Podcast. The most handsome, best, well-spoken host is finally here. We got rid of that Daryl trash bag guy. He's gone. So it's the boys are here. How's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful September day here in Saskatchewan. How you doing, Luke?
Oh, you know, we're doing all right. It's a wet, rainy, cold fall day here in Ontario. It sucks, but we're here talking.
Perfect.
All right, let's jump right into it, Mikey. After we cover one thing, I can't forget. Oh boy, I'm rusty. Don't forget, guys, like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff down there on YouTube. We're available on Facebook as well. I think Daryl even posts TikToks now because he's hip. And don't forget, if you can't stick around for the whole podcast or you want to listen again later, we're available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Perfect. Mikey, who was at the Canadian Para Championships and what did you think about that event?
I thought it was pretty cool. So the Para Bowls Championship ran for the first time last week there. So they had looks like two different divisions. It's a little hard to track the website what exactly happened and everything like that, but there was contingents from looked like Alberta, Ontario, and I think it said Newfoundland. So I think that green shirt we're seeing there is a Newfoundland bowler, which is pretty cool to see. But there was visual impaired and physically impaired. So the winner of the physically impaired division was Andy Caldwell. Oh, your dad, Luke. Pew, 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 pew. So congrats to Andy. Andy Caldwell won the physically impaired division. Second place was Jack Smart. And third place was Chelsea Robertson. So I think looking at the photos, those are two people from Alberta. So congrats to all three there in the physically impaired division. And then we also had the visually impaired division, which was Louise McLean ended up winning, followed by Liz Mayo in second and Jeff Connor in third. So congrats to everyone involved there. It was nice to see the Para Bowls getting started. I think that's kind of our first kick at it. Wasn't a huge field or anything like that, but I think it's something that's definitely going to have potential for growth going ahead here. What did you think of it, Luke?
I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I feel like I hate to be that guy, but I feel like Bowls Canada, I mean, it was nice that they put on the event, but I feel like they kind of dropped the ball. Like, I feel like a lot of people didn't know it was happening. And there was not a whole lot going on Facebook. They didn't do any live streaming at all, or that, or the mixed pairs, which was kind of shocking with them both being right there. I will say that was kind of odd, but I mean, it was great they put it on, and I think there's a lot of room to expand and a lot of things they can learn from it, but that's just my opinion anyways.
Yeah, that's a fair point with the lack of streaming and everything like that, and it was pretty hard to find some of the results, sort of as we were saying there too, so I think it definitely maybe for next time there will be a little more coverage and maybe some streaming as you're sort of getting on there, because that'll help do nothing but increase the visibility and sort of show that it is a sport that anybody can play for people who maybe are thinking about getting into the para side of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I just think it's a great event. It's cool. They put it on, like I said.
Okay. So that's what we had there for the para. There was also the mixed pairs that just concluded today. So also in Windsor after the para finished, they went right into the mixed pairs. So the winners of the mixed pairs were making a triumphant return. First time I've seen this name in a long time, Michelle LaRue and Songsin Sao. They ended up winning. So congrats to Michelle. Haven't seen him in a good 5 to 7, well, even probably 10 years now. So good for him. Second place was Stephen Young from BC and Lisa Chung from BC. And then third place was Bailey Van Stein and Jake Masterson from Ontario. So well done to them. I was pretty happy to see the results there all week. It looked like it was a fairly competitive field. There was probably about four or five teams that were doing pretty good and sort of in the runs for the medals there. What do you think, Luke?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, mixed pairs is always kind of one of those fun ones to watch just because some of the teams you see set up, it's just, I don't know, it's just different than our, obviously, our standard like men's and women's. So you get to see some pretty interesting pairings along the way. I was obviously being the Ontario guy, I guess it was nice to see Jake and Bailey do well. I've known them since they were young kids in the sport. So it was pretty nice to see them do well. I mean, and Michel Leroux, I mean, what really can you say about that guy? He's been doing great things for a long time, so it's good to see him back on top.
Yeah, no, I was pretty happy to see the young ones come up there and play through the mixed pairs, because I think it's usually a lot of couples are playing in it. So usually you get husband wives or sort of the older players, I guess, playing together in the mixed pairs typically. So it's kind of new, cool to see a younger team in there and actually doing well is fun as well.
And I did forget to mention, guys, if you have any comments or things you'd like to add, the chat box is available on the side. If you want to have any comments or questions, feel free to throw them in there. I can't speak. Daryl's laughing at me. I can see him over in the side, but it's okay. But while we're talking about chat box and all other things, I think we have one thing we can announce in the middle of all this stuff. A pretty exciting one to announce, in my opinion. There is, yeah, I believe it's in the description below, but the Canadian Bowler merchandise store is officially live. We got that all set up finally. I don't know if you know more than I do about it, Mike, but I'll let you kind of go into this.
I know Daryl and me have been putting in some work over the last while, specifically Daryl setting this all up. But yeah, we have merch available there. So at the bottom, if you are interested, you can see on the screen here some of our offerings. So we do have some shirts, hats, and I think hot coffee mugs are on there too. So if you are interested in any of that stuff, you want some Canadian Bowler merch, definitely give it a look. Any sort of support helps us out because we're just trying to keep upgrading our equipment and everything so that we can do some better streaming and everything like that in the future. So any sort of support is helpful. So if you are interested, definitely take a look. Daryl has made some sort of custom designs. So if you look at the store, there are some custom designs and logos that we've made that definitely, or if you're interested in bowls, they're pretty cool logos in my opinion. So definitely give our store a look if you can.
Yeah, and I just wanted to throw it out there. I mean, I don't know what people think about the store, but I did just want to throw it out there that it's not necessarily for personal gain for myself, Mike, or Daryl. It's more for just everything we make goes back into the podcast and just basically just our adventure of trying to promote the sport the best we can. So we appreciate everything, and it's great. I also just wanted to mention one more thing before we carry on, because I meant to do it at the start of the show and I forgot. I just wanted to speak about the passing of Brian McCartney. He passed away peacefully on September 16th, and just my our condolences to him and his family.
Yeah, it was quite sad to see that happen there. I played Brian a couple times nationals myself, and then when he was the director of the national team there, also got familiar with him at that point as well. So very sad to hear that. But again, our condolences go out to Brian and his family. Okay, so we got through the shop. We got some other results to pass along because there's actually been quite a bit of bowling going on here in the late season. So
So we're gonna get into the Cody show.
yeah, I guess we'll start rattling off of Cody's wins that he's been putting up. Cody's been on fire the last month or so here. So I guess it was yesterday we could start with the Phoenix. So I think the Phoenix Championship of Bowls had an event there yesterday, and Cody and Sandy ended up winning. I think pretty much at every Phoenix event this year, they've either placed or been very close to placing. So they've been on fire. Cody's just been terrific. He wasn't even last time when I was there for the Phoenix, he was great in that. So congratulations to them. Cody ended up winning against Eric and Rob in the final of the Phoenix. So that would have been pretty cool to see yesterday. For going on to the other things that Cody's rattled off over the last month. A few weeks ago, they did the PBA qualifiers. So there was the UK Open and then the Potters pairs and singles. So in the photo there, you're seeing Gary Pickering. He ended up ruining Cody's perfect bid, winning all the events. So Gary ended up beating Cody in the final of the UK Open. looking when I looked at the website, it kind of looked like it was a extra end or tiebreaker type of a thing. So it was a really close game. Cody almost ended up winning the UK Open, but Gary pulled that one off. So Gary would go to the UK Open. And then over here, we're seeing Cody and Dylan Jacobs ended up winning the pairs. So they would be going to England there for the pairs. So congratulations to the guys on that one. Happy to see Dylan back bowling, and now Dylan going to the UK. It's going to be great to see those two going over there. And then here you're seeing Cody on his own. So Cody won the singles as well. So Cody gets to double up his pairs and singles going over at the same time. So rattling off a lot of wins there. Congrats to Cody.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive stuff. I mean, Cody's always been a great bowler, and it's nice to see him finally catching those dubs. I mean, hopefully you can catch some on the bigger stage here. You never know. But I guess since we're talking about great individual performances, how do you want to talk a little bit about your power rankings video, Mike?
Sure. Yeah, like I guess if we're talking about Cody rattling off the wins, I guess Cody's probably gonna be moving up that list whenever the next one comes out. But we put out a video, I guess it would have been earlier this weekend on Friday,
a controversial video at that.
Yeah, there's been some chatter. So Check Your Bias came out on Friday. That was Alex and mine's power rankings. Well, I guess they're Alex's power rankings, and I was just sort of along for the ride with him. But yeah, we definitely have had some chatter on it, people talking about it, sort of more of a baseball, like if you watch the baseball or the football shows, they do their power rankings talking about how a team's been performing lately or right around then. So that's the one thing I wanted to kind of add about the list, is that it is a sort of right now type of a thing. So the people that have been performing right at that point, a lot of them are on that list, or they'd be moving up and down. So whenever we do the next one, you're probably going to see a lot of movement of, example, Cody, just like we were talking about, would probably be jumping up that list pretty considerably, because essentially he's won everything that he could in the last half of the year here. What did you think of our list, Luke?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, obviously, the whole point of it is a conversation piece, right? It's an opinionated piece. So I sort of agree with some of it. I disagree with some of it. I agree strongly with some of it and disagree strongly with some of it. It's one of those things that everyone's going to have a little bit of a different opinion. I mean, I think the number one thing that I could, if I was to be that, like to be critical, I think I could pick apart is just a Saskatchewan bias, in my opinion, from Alex. But I feel like that's going to go the same way everywhere, because you see those people more often. And like, I don't know how good those people are on average. Dara, I don't know what you're making this face up, but you're worrying me, so stop it. I don't know, Mike, what did you think about Alex's list? Like you said, it's not your own.
Yeah, like there's a few names on the list I would have put on the list. And I think some of the chatter we've been seeing was sort of what you started talking about there, where we are a very regional country for bulls in Canada. If you live in Alberta or you live in Saskatchewan, you're going to probably think the people who play in Alberta and Saskatchewan are better bowlers than people you're countering from Ontario. And if you live in Ontario, you're going to think probably that the Ontario players are much better than. So it's trying to be kind of even across the board. I get the chatter as you're sort of talking about, where there are names that I would have definitely put on the list that Alex didn't put on his list. But again, it's sort of his own piece, a little bit of a Saskatchewan bias. I'll definitely agree with that. Some Saskatchewan colored goggles are being worn by Alex when he made his list. But it's really just to get some dialogue and conversation about something like this going. We're definitely going to keep working on it, trying to make it better too down the line. So definitely give the video a watch if you haven't, because
I think what you guys need to do, so just to, like, I mean, if you're trying to eliminate chatter or even cause more chatter, sort of make your own sort of power rankings, what's the word I'm looking for, like criteria that kind of drop somebody in a list, and then people at least understand where stuff comes from. I think that'd be kind of a neat way to like break it down, like break down each individual player and whatever else.
Yeah, no, I think that's something that we're gonna elaborate or go more into detail in the future, because this was really kind of, we threw it together. It's something Alex and me have been formally done for years, and we kind of gave the idea to Daryl, and he was fine to sort of help us put it visually together. So we worked hard on that, and we're going to probably keep refining it. And as you're saying, maybe add a little bit of criteria, a little more clarity in the future, just so some people aren't as maybe offended by what we're doing. But that's not our intention anyways, is we're just trying to get some chatter going and sort of reviewing how people have been doing, because it's a good way to sort of show that this person's been playing really well and we think that they deserve to be placed in the top five or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we have on the plans, but maybe we should just have everybody who hates everybody and have an after dark, and then we'll have a really good one. And on that topic.
Yeah, no, that'd probably be a fun one. Bring in some of the people that we know that don't get along and see if we can get some sparks flying there on the after dark.
Yeah, I don't know how Daryl thinks about it, but I think it would be entertaining to say the least. That is something that needs to come back. I mean, I guess I don't even know what else we have to talk about. I feel like we flew through our list of things today, so we're going to have to make some things up on the go. So what's up with After Dark, Mike? I haven't been around. The people need to know. What's going on there?
After Dark, we've had ideas. We've thought about bringing it back, and it's just stuff that we've never really followed through on. The busyness of the summer was probably a main reason we haven't seen it in quite a long time now. Is realistically from May through essentially now, we're in bowling season, and it's pretty tough for a lot of people to have that time to go and make a video like that, because logistically After Dark is hard to organize for us too, because it's usually 5-6 people that you're trying to get on the same schedule. And even when you plan it a couple weeks in advance, you usually get somebody who can't make a certain night work, and then they're the only person that can't work that night. So we have some ideas, and you just gave another idea for something we can definitely look forward to or try and do. I think now that we're going towards the off season in the Northern Hemisphere, it's very likely you're going to see at least one After Dark fairly soon here, because it's a good one to get the spicy conversations going, as you were saying. So I think very soon we should probably see one coming.
Yeah, we actually got some input in the chat here. John Seitman, our biggest fan, is back. He gave us an update. The Nova Scotia singles actually happened a few weeks ago, I guess. And he says in the men's, it was the gold was Steve Bazanson. Silver was Ogden. I don't know who that is. I personally don't. And then John got bronze. So good for you guys. That's exciting. Do you want to do the women's, Mike?
Sure. And then he's saying that the women's was Charmaine Cameron was gold, Nancy Latimer was silver, and Debbie Purdy was bronze. So congrats to everybody there. So that'd be the three people going to nationals, I guess, next year for the singles. So that's pretty awesome to see them. And I know John will probably be very excited that he gets to go and play, I guess, in both the fours and the singles. So that's pretty cool to see. I guess if we're also talking about results that they would have had recently, I guess they probably had their Atlantics just last weekend, I think, too. Nova Scotia, or not Nova Scotia, but I think somewhere in Quebec. I think it was in Quebec, if I'm going by memory here. So I don't have the results right in front of me here right now. See if I can get them. Yeah, I don't have them up in front of me, but if John wants to post that in the chat, we can definitely share the results there from the Atlantics, because that would have just happened there. So that's their regular event that they have every fall, where I think it's New Brunswick, all the Maritime provinces, and then Quebec to get together, and they play. And that one was in Quebec. It looked like it was at Beaconsfield or one of the clubs there in Quebec. So pretty cool event. And then have you ever played in, there's like the showdown, I guess, between Ontario and...
Oh, the Governor General?
Yeah. Have you ever played in that?
No, I actually haven't. I also, that's just one of those ones that's kind of like a big tournament that nobody talks about. Like, I didn't even know about it for the longest time. I mean, maybe I live under a rock, but I didn't even know it was a thing for the longest time. But yeah, I know that happened recently. I know it was, I think it's basically just like the regular crew of people, like the Ontario people up from the Ottawa area usually go down to play against the people from Quebec. But no, I actually don't have a whole lot of information about that myself.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know that's usually around this time of the year as well. I think it was probably about a month ago now, and I was kind of wondering what happened there, because it's always just interesting for me, being a person from out the west where we don't really have many tournaments, and then there's so many tournaments that happen in Ontario and even Nova Scotia. They have far more tournaments than we do, so I find it very interesting, all the results and all the different events that people ended up playing in over the year.
Why do you think that, like, Saskatchewan has so little tournaments? Is it just simply because their clubs are few and far between, or is it like, would it be too much stress on, like, basically one club to run them all? Like, what do you think the difference is?
I think it's just the structures of how our clubs work. Like Regina, the club I belong to, we run like weekday tournaments, and I know that that's something that I think feedback's been given to our club, that we want there to be more weekend tournaments and sort of kind of run it like the Nova Scotia way, where you see that they have like a tournament every weekend, it almost seems like. I personally would play in more tournaments, like sort of the smaller, just not recreational, but sort of those mixture of the recreational competitive player tournaments, if they were on the weekends. Because like I work Monday to Friday, and it's pretty hard for me to get to the club to play three straight nights, or however the structure of our tournaments work. So I think that's kind of the main problem in Saskatchewan. And then the fact that we're multiple hours away, I think the cost of driving and the transportation is also a problem here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like, we're lucky here. I guess it's hard for me to understand, because I've always lived somewhere where I can drive 2 hours in either direction, and I'm going to drive past a handful of lawn bowling clubs, and generally there's tournaments at all of them every day of the week. So, I mean, it's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, I think like you guys had like an OLBA handbook where you have all these tournaments listed, and this
Yeah.
is actually, as you're saying, you can literally bowl pretty much every day of the week if you wanted to go from place to place. And I would love to have more tournaments available and have the options like that, but I know it's not really logistically possible with realistically about the four clubs in Saskatchewan, five clubs that we have. It's hard for kind of lots of those tournaments to occur.
Yeah, I got another kind of some rumblings that I've heard, and I don't even know the legitimacy of it or not, or honestly where I heard it from, but I heard that somebody's looking at bringing the Canadian outdoor or indoor singles to Ontario instead of BC. What do you think about that?
Be interesting. Is there an actual indoor in Ontario that they could even play it on? Do you know?
No, like there's not a like there is, but there's not like a PIBC equivalent indoor. I think honestly the closest one would be, and you'd have to fact check me, Daryl would know. I think it's Newmarket has something that's sort of a one green indoor thing. It's probably the closest to like a quote unquote like legit. I think the place that I heard of potentially hosting was Richmond Hill, the lawn bowling indoor there, but I think it's like a it used to be a soccer field hybrid type style thing. So, I'm not sure, but I just was curious on what you thought about.
Yeah, like I would personally would love to see the indoor game grow. I know it's so tough and so expensive to get an indoor. Like
Yeah.
as you're saying, like those soccer facilities are about the only option or one of the best options that places can get if you can sort of share or use a facility that has essentially a turf that you can actually competently bowl on. But again, it's not optimal when you get those sort of arrangements, because I know they only give you maybe a couple hours a week on the surface, so it's not great to have those arrangements either. But if it actually ended up going out to Ontario, I think that'd be kind of an interesting change up, because I know PIBC has probably hosted that event for well over a decade in a row here, and
Yeah.
it's probably a pretty heavy advantage for the people who play out in BC, because if you're able to practice on that carpet, and then all the people come from all these different spots in Canada where they don't have indoors, it's a different a different event. I've played it once or twice myself before, so.
It can be tough if you'd never played there before. A thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, this is also probably one that's not going to get taken very well by a lot of people, but it's whatever. It's kind of what I'm here for. So we're talking about indoor, and we're talking about how expensive it is to get indoor facilities in the country. Do you think if Bowls Canada had sponsors that we would be able to afford more indoor facilities. Because I'm, and I say had sponsors because if we look at On Bowls Canada's website, and I just want to say before I go into this is my opinion, not anybody else's. This is my opinion. But if we look at our current sponsors, we have Kukri Sports, MVP Sports, Northers the Award Store, and Event Content or Connect. We have four sponsors, and we're a major sport. We're a major organization in sports. Do you think? And from what I, again, I have no idea, but I'm assuming everything that's a sponsor doesn't actually donate the money. It's probably just stuff for free, like Kukri. That's probably a discount or a free gear. The award store might be free medals and MVP Sports, and the other ones I'm not sure. But just a thought. But like, do they spend time on trying to make money for the organization and to like have a better foundation, or do they just strictly rely on funding? That's like a, I don't know. I'm curious.
I'm sure you're going down a pretty deep rabbit hole to get that one there. I'm sure there is effort potentially or being put in on exactly what you're touching on. I think to get the big sponsors is probably, I don't know. It's one of the things that I think in an After Dark, we definitely could touch about the marketability of Bulls, because I think that's the big problem we run into is how do we market the game and how do we get those sponsors involved to sort of bring in that extra money that you're talking about. I don't know what the answer is. I think it's something that would be a fun After Dark topic for sure to bring up and see what people's ideas were to better market the sport or get that money coming in, because you make a very good point that the money isn't really coming in there. There's nothing else on the website except for just a couple advertisements for these different sponsors. So I do agree with you. It'd be cool to get some bigger sponsors involved and maybe have that extra money coming in for everything like that, like helping with indoors, everything along those lines.
Like, I just feel like, and I know from personal experience, when I was an athlete on the national team, I reached out to, I don't know, I guess probably some large and some small companies. And generally the consensus that I got back was, no, we're not willing to sponsor somebody for individual gain, but they're willing to sponsor large like organizations or something to help a national program. So I don't know. I just feel like there's avenues out there that aren't being taken advantage of, but I don't work for Bulls Canada, so I have no idea what goes on in the office. But I guess speaking about Bulls Canada, I just got a note from our media man, Daryl. The BCB Canadian Championship bidding is starting on October 1st.
It concludes.
Okay, sorry, my fault.
Yeah, so all the clubs that are wanting to host nationals next year, they're doing a bidding process rather than previous years, where it's like the rotating schedules and everything like that. So it's an actual bidding process. So if you do have a club, if you're involved with your club's board of directors maybe, and you maybe want to host a national championship, definitely take a look at BCB's website, because they have sort of the information about what you have to do, submit your bid, and then it would be reviewed by a committee where they would sort of see the suitability of hosting whatever events you're trying to get. But it's definitely a great event, great thing to consider for a club. So if you do have a board of directors that's willing to take something on like that, definitely look into it, because I know we've hosted a few events at the Regina Lawn Bowling Club over the last 10 years or so, and it financially does help you out a lot. And if your club's willing to take the responsibility on, it's a great thing to bring into your club.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got a few comments in the chat there. So John Seitman did answer my questions about the Atlantics, so I'll rattle those details off for you. So for the women's pairs, gold went to Nova Scotia for Anne-Marie Seitman and Vicky Balcom. Silver was PEI, which was a replacement team from Quebec. So a Quebec team, Susan Hill and Anne Morissette. And then bronze, New Brunswick A, Beth Kirkpatrick and Jenny Myers. And then for the men's pairs, gold went to New Brunswick A, which was Corey and Joe Briggs. Silver went to John Devlin and Mike Doskus from Quebec. And bronze went to the other New Brunswick team, Chris Lane and Kevin Phillips. And then for the women's triples, it was Quebec A won gold, Nova Scotia A won silver, and Quebec B won bronze. And then for the men's triples, Quebec B won gold, New Brunswick A won silver, and Quebec A won bronze. So thank you very much, John, for posting that in the chat. I attempted to find it quickly on the website there, wasn't able to, but I'm always happy to see the results there from the Atlantic. So thanks again, John.
Yeah, thanks very much, John. Appreciate that.
So John also chimed in about your sort of indoor talk there. So the government funding, it's just about the having a true business structure for Bowls Club in Canada. Usually it takes close to $1 million to get a full facility. So yeah, John's hitting that spot on. I know one of the major problems with running a indoor facility is it's a facility in itself, and you have to pay for the power, everything like that to essentially have the facility. So it's hard to have it work as a business model because you usually aren't going to have enough of an income from your membership just to have the facility and everything going. You probably have to have some sort of a business running out of it. Whether that's a bar or something along those lines, a restaurant, whatever it might be, you usually have to either have it together with something else to make it kind of feasible, which is a definite good point from John there.
I agree.
So let's see what else. John's posting crazy in our chat here. I have to read all these different comments. They just keep popping up every minute here when I'm looking down. So John's saying, we've been hoping to see a potential for indoor in the East without converting a surplus hockey rink, but that is still a while in the future. Converting a facility or getting into multi-sports is ideal. So yeah, pretty much what we've kind of got on there, where joining in with another sport, the common one we're seeing is soccer. You can usually play on a lot of those turfs. So that's what a lot of them, I think Manitoba does the same thing. They play in the indoor in the winter as well, and they're on a soccer pitch as well. So that is kind of the necessary evil, I think, is you have to usually join up with another sport or make it a business of some variety to make it feasible. And what's his other comment here? Sid Curry Award, which is the Atlantic version of the Cy English, went to Quebec. Next year's the 50th edition of the Atlantics, and it will be in PEI. So that's cool. PEI having the Atlantics next year. I know that's a nice green to go to, the green there in Charlottetown. I've played my first juniors there, so that'll be cool that they get to host it next year. So I think that's about all we had planned to talk about today. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah, I don't personally have anything else to talk about. So unless you do, I think it's about that time.
Yeah, I'm all out of ideas. We can
Alrighty.
Wrap her up, I guess.
Well, thanks for having me back, Mike. It's been tough, but I'm here. So everybody, don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff down in the bottom. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, we're available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Video will be available on YouTube shortly after we go offline here. And don't forget, Canadian Bowler Store in the description down low. Get your shirts, get your hats, get your mugs. Look stylish. Support the podcast. We all win. And thanks a lot, guys. Until next time, I hope all your bowls are touchers.